Hello, you're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Vanessa Finney. Today on The Creative Way, I'm talking with an Indigenous woman who practices traditional weaving techniques to create works of art that are as useful as they are beautiful. Chantel Relatos is an enrolled member of the Confederated Tribes of Siletz Indians and currently living in Crescent City. Welcome, Chantel.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Good morning. Well, I haven't made it to an exhibit of yours, but I have seen some of your pictures of work online. So let's start with you describing the range of products that you weave.
Yeah, well, I've been weaving for a few years now, about 3.5 years. And during that time, I've made a variety of different baskets now. I've made a handful of utilitarian style baskets, so like plates, and gathering baskets. I've made a cooking basket, like a soup acorn basket, we call it. And I do some basket jewelry, and I've made a few baby rattles and baby baskets. And recently, my newest endeavor has been making ceremonial basket caps, which I've made two of those, and I'm getting started on my third now. And in reference to my shows, art shows, I didn't start making baskets or, you know, start doing baskets to do these art shows. I was just doing it as a way to honor my people and participate in my culture and do something that I felt was meaningful and important to me. And it just so happened that I've had two great friends now, Indigenous artists and curators, Leonard Harmond and Stephanie Little Bird, who invited me to put my baskets in their shows. And so that was something new for me that this year that was really sweet and an awesome opportunity that I was not expecting or never thought I would, you know, do something like that.
How exciting. And you were in about your mid-20s when you decided to take this up?
Yeah, I was, gosh, how old am I now? Well, I'm 28 now. So about 3.5 years ago in the summer is when I had just started really getting my hands on it.
What materials do you use to weave these products?
Yeah, well, for our sticks, we use hazel sticks and willow sticks, primarily, preferably, if we can get our hands on them, hazel sticks, just because they're so much stronger, which is needed for our big, strong baskets, you know, to carry our babies and our big gathering baskets and fish baskets, all sorts of different types of baskets. That use those nice, strong hazel sticks. And we also use spruce root and willow roots. And we use overlay material, which gives like our patterns and designs, colors in our baskets. And those are bear grass that we sun bleach with the sun to turn white. And we use Woodwardia fern that we dye with alder bark to give us that nice red or copper color in our baskets. And we use the stems of maiden hair fern for the black. So those are a few different materials that we use. I think that's kind of it. I mean, there's a few other materials that we would use, but I haven't necessarily got my hands on to use maybe like some pine roots and a few other types of sticks. But yeah, that's the main ones.
And how do you physically gather all that? And where do you go?
Yeah, well, I mean, these are all native plants to our homeland here in Southern Oregon, spanning Western Oregon, really into Northern California, basket materials that we use. And traditionally, you know, I think we had areas that our families tended to and that we'd regularly go to gather. Today, it's kind of harder to find good access to safe and good materials, but we still do have places or folks that work with us. And just really, I think, really just finding your own patches and tending to your own areas out in the woods, out in the forest, on the land. And
are there kind of territories established between the gatherers?
I would say possibly so. Not so much that I've experienced. I kind of went out to find my own areas so that way I'm not walking into other folks' areas, but it doesn't seem so that way. The Yurok tribe, for example, they have like maps that they do for basketry materials that they have access for, that they have culturally burned a style and a traditional practice to give us good, nice hazel sticks and a way of taking care of the land that they put out for tribal members to go and collect. So yeah, that, I guess, sort of in a way, yeah, I think it just kind of depends on your region and where you're at.
Tell us about the technique of working with some of those materials. I was interested to hear that you can actually make soup dishes, so it must be a very tight weave.
Yeah, those soup bowls, those are made with spruce roots, and it does require a really tight weave. And why we use those spruce roots is because when they get wet, they swell, and so they help, you know, help with that watertight form. So all of these, you know, we call it traditional ecological knowledge, but really it's just thousands and thousands of years of science that our ancestors perfected and knew the best of the best and what worked, and, you know, all these things that thankfully were saved and passed forward for us to use. And these styles and techniques you talk about, I think about when I was a young girl. I was really fortunate. My late great grandmother, Agnes Baker Pilgrim, who's really known in the Rogue Valley, and growing up, she had a lot of our family baskets and old baskets made by ancestors in our home. And so I just grew up with an appreciation for our traditional baskets around in her home. And so that was really special for me. And but we didn't actually have an active weaver in my family besides a cousin of my mother's, who I called my aunt. She has passed on now. But when I was a young girl, she was always out gathering her materials. To be a basket weaver requires you to be out in the land and having a relationship with the plants and gathering. And so she was always doing that. And when she came home with her materials, I'd be playing with her kids, my cousins. She'd bring those materials back for us to help clean with her. So from a young age, I think that was kind of my first introduction that I think had a big influence on me. But like I mentioned, it wasn't until about 3.5 years ago that I really got my hands on it. I'd reached out to Robert Kenta, a Siletz tribal elder in our community, and he's a council member currently, and I knew that he knew basket weaving, and so I had reached out to him and asked him if he would teach me how to start and make a basket and the techniques and, you know, any other teachings that he felt were important for me to know. And so my dad was living in Siletz at the time, not too far from where Robert was living, so I spent a weekend with my dad in Siletz and met with Robert on his property out in Logston, a little just outside of Siletz, and he lives on his family's allotment today still. And so we sat down there by the river, and he spent the weekend showing me how to start a basket and how to twine and how to add in, and was super generous and handing me a bundle of sticks and roots so that way when I came home, I could continue on my journey with that. And I really just, I fell in love with it within a 2-day span. And I'd come back at night to my dad's house and just tell him everything I learned and probably just talk his ear off because I was just quite literally obsessed with it. And yeah, I came home and yeah, I just totally took off with it. And I've been weaving ever since that weekend. So.
Oh, it's a wonderful feeling to first get mentorship and then to really click with something. If you're just tuning in, this is The Creative Way on the Jefferson Exchange. My guest is Chantel Relatos, traditional weaver and tribal member of the Confederated Tribes of Siletz Indians, which is the most diverse confederation of tribes and bands on a single reservation in the United States. Chantel, I believe I heard you say for thousands of years. Is that how long this traditional weaving has been practiced among your people?
Yeah. I mean, we say since time immemorial, since the beginning of time that our people have been here. And baskets have been, you know, they're a part of everyday life, and they have been since the beginning of time of our people. So, you know, every tool and bucket and pot and pan and carrier that we have today, you know, those were all baskets used before we had those items. And so in our ceremonies, everything really depends on these baskets. And I think more than just the product of it too, it's really a connection to the land, to our homeland. Mm-hmm. I think especially too for me as a Siletz tribal member in person, you know, we have a kind of a devastating history, I guess, in the Rogue Valley and our removal to the Siletz Reservation. And so, you know, colonization really disrupted a lot of our life ways, but our ancestors really fought and made sure that these ways lived on despite it being outlawed to do so. And for me, I just feel it's just a great connection to the past and to my ancestors to be a basket weaver because it returns me back to my homeland.
And I want to take a moment to acknowledge that the Siletz people are living descendants here of the Dakelma, Shasta, and Lakgawa people. and JPR broadcasts from the campus of Southern Oregon University, which are the homelands historically of the Shasta, Tecumseh, and Latgawa people. And when you say what areas in Oregon, tell us what areas in Oregon those people are historically from.
Yeah, that would be a large segment itself. Historically, the Siletz people span all of Western Oregon and touch into Northern California and Washington a little bit. And so I'll just speak to my family. The Rogue River and Rogue Valley is a huge area and where our original confederation started at. And my grandma Aggie's family, my family, where we come from, my grandmother Aggie was a Tecumseh person, and we come directly from right outside of Grants Pass at Jump Off Joe Creek. And her Aunt Frances also says that we come from Table Rocks and Cow Creek. So, you know, large area within the Rogue Valley that we span from. And then that's from my mother's side, my mom Tanya. And then my dad's side, he's also a Siletz tribal member and comes along from the Rogue River as well, a little bit up in Galice. So, you know, strong connection to place from the Rogue Valley and along the Rogue River.
Yeah. Your creations were part of an exhibition in Newport earlier this year. Do you have any more upcoming shows? I know that was kind of a new thing for you, but I'm wondering where we can see your work or even buy it and learn more about this tradition.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, I do have another show actually coming up and back at the VAC in Newport, starting in January, going until I think March, beginning of March. So that I'll be back there. Otherwise, I have created a little Instagram page, mostly for myself, just to like put all of my stuff that I've made, if I remember to take photos of it, just to have it in a place. And so my Instagram art page, I guess, is chantelrelatis.creations. And so, yeah, I share a lot of my work there. But otherwise, that's my next upcoming show currently.
Okay. Well, I wish I had time to talk a lot more with you, but I want to thank you so much for joining me today. It was a pleasure. And also, congratulations on celebrating your baby's birthday yesterday.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
We know you had to get childcare for today, so I appreciate your time.
Thank you. I appreciate the time as well and being able to talk with you a little bit. Got our culture and my basket weaving, so thank you.
Good luck with your next show. You've been listening to The Creative Way, which explores the visual, literary, and performing arts of our listening region. My guest today was Chantel Relatos, who's a living practitioner of an ancient weaving tradition here in her ancestral homelands.